Ah, Nebraska Nuge. I've heard a lot about you. Professor of podcast theology and finder of rare antiquities.
That's one way of putting it. Why don't you sit down, make yourself comfortable?
So, Dr. Nuge, what can you tell us about the Lost Podcast?
According to legend, an ancient civilization was said to have discovered podcast technology. It was said they recorded the most powerful spells and incantations onto a golden iPod. It took them nearly 100 years to complete the task, and when it was done, they played the podcast and it nearly destroyed them.
What happened to it?
Good question. Fearing their own creation, the civilization buried the podcast in a secret chamber called the Well of Sounds, and it was never heard from again.
My God, man, do you think it still exists?
Some people believe it still exists. I'll tell you one thing. If the legends are to be believed, whoever finds and plays the podcast will be able to level mountains and lay waste entire regions, if you believe in such thing. In short, they will be invincible.
You will help us find it.
A simple yes will do.
We will do this old-fashioned way.
Put your hands down, will you? You're embarrassing us.
Don't touch anything.
Hey everybody, I am Heath Holland, and with me is
Barry Nugent,
and we are going to talk a little bit today about our love of Indiana Jones.
Yay! That was my whip sound effect. See, that made it sound like he didn't know the... I was going to say know the words, but there is no words to it, is there?
We can make words.
No.
Indiana, he's the man.
What's really scary is when I was a kid, I did try to make up words, and I just realized it really doesn't work.
No. It really doesn't. That's okay.
So yes, we are here to talk about our love of Indiana Jones, the original, well, I was going to say the original trilogy of Star Wars, but the trilogy and, of course, the new movie, which is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is a real mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to kind of talk about the three movies and kind of, you know, what we thought of them and stuff like that. And then we're going to kind of tackle the fourth movie. And also we're going to talk about some of the stuff around it, like some of the TV that, you know, well, there was only Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
And a few little bits like that. So before we kind of dive into the whole kind of the first movie, which is obviously Raiders of the Lost Ark and not Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Where do you stand on that, Heath? Are you particularly bothered, or...?
I'm a little bothered. I don't understand why these guys keep revising their movies, and you know, I understand why they want to do it. You know, you've got kids that weren't around in 1981, and you want everything to say Indiana Jones, yeah. And the... But you can't rewrite history,
no.
As much as they try to. You can CG out all the guns in E.T., and you can make Greedo shoot first, but in the end, we all know how it really was, and you can't rewrite history. No. It just makes us angry.
And the thing is, as well, it's such a cracking title for a movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think Raiders of the Lost Ark was such a good title. When you stick on Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, it just seems a bit unnecessary, really.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, You know, like I said, I see why they're doing it. They want uniformity. Is that a word? I don't know. They want it to be uniform all the way across. But it's done. Don't go back to stuff unless you're going to. You know what? No, never. Don't ever go back and redo your stuff. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, Lucas. I was going to say Lucas and Star Wars and Phantom Menace don't go back, but you know that's a different podcast.
Yeah, we're just gonna go back and make Yoda CG.
Don't go back, no. So before we kind of really get to the meat of this, just to kind of get this going, do you want to just kind of talk about why, you know, you love Indiana Jones so much? Because obviously we've kind of decided to do this because we're both huge fans, and I'm not saying people out there aren't as huge of fans as we are, but maybe I am saying that, I don't know.
Well, we're totally better than everybody
else.
We are.
Top indie fans.
No, we're just two friends that both love Indiana Jones and wanted to talk about it.
Exactly.
So, why do you love Indiana Jones so much, Barry?
You see, I often sort of sit and think about it, and sometimes I know clearly why, and other times I think, I don't really know.
It's kind of hard to pinpoint.
I think for me, it was because I did grow, I mean, when the sort of cliffhanger Republic serials came out, like King of the Rocket Man and Flash Gordon and all those sorts of stuff. I mean, obviously they came out way before I was born. But they used to re-show them when I was a kid, and I sort of grew up watching them. And I just really liked the whole sort of cliffhanger thing where every episode would end with, a truck going off a cliff and sort of like, you know, will he survive to next week? And obviously, you know, he would. But it's just that week you're spent thinking all these different ways of he could get out of it and stuff like that. So I loved all that. And I always remember hearing the... Back then, he didn't get nowhere near as much coverage on movies as you do now. Nowhere near. And my only exposure to Indiana Jones before I went to see the movie was an advert on the radio. And they'd done it in the style of a cliffhanger serial. And it was kind of like, you know, will Indy escape from the Will of Souls? You know, will he survive the Ark of the Covenant? Will he escape the evil Nazis? You know, find out on June whatever and raise the Lost Ark. And I heard that. I remember I was eating breakfast at the time, and I heard that. And I remember saying to my brother, oh my God, I've got to see this movie. You've got to take me to this movie. And I just badgered him for a week to take me to see it. And literally after I came out of the movie, it sounds cheesy to say it changed my life, but it kind of did, because anyone that knows me now knows that I write stories, I write books and whatever, and that love of writing kind of grew out of going to see Raiders of the Lost Ark, because I had such a kind of, it gave me such an imagination for different worlds and characters and stuff, and I just didn't know a good way to express that, and the only way I could kind of find to do that was really through writing. So that's how kind of I got into writing and stuff, and so it's always got a kind of special place for me as Indy, I think, and he was real. He was a real. He was a real hero in that everyone else I'd watch like James Bond movies and Superman and stuff like that, and they're all pretty indestructible. And to be honest, you know, sometimes were a bit boring because you always knew that. Whereas with Indy, he was fallible. He always got a kick in. When you really look back at those three movies, he never actually got anything he went after. I just thought he was a really great, well-rounded character. So, you know, that's kind of it in a nutshell for me. What about you?
I don't know. You know, I guess, let me try to put it this way. For the ultimate space adventure, I have Star Wars. And for the ultimate earthbound adventure, it's Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's got everything to me. It's larger than life, but at the same time I can relate to it, and I can relate to him and his goals. I mean, also I'm really into archaeology and the search for lost pasts and things like that, but they also tapped into, you know, they're all kind of supernatural, and I attach to that too. I think that that's really cool. So the escapist in me loves that, but it's really just the ultimate adventure to me. That's about as best as I can sum it up.
Yeah.
Other than saying it just has this quality of being just excellent. It's, I don't know. There are no words.
I just think, I mean, you know, I've got kind of things about sort of Temple of Doom and Last Crusade, and we'll get onto that. But yeah, I just think when I just saw Raiders of the Lost Ark as a kid, and even when I watch it now, it's just, for me, it's just a perfect movie. And it's just a perfect, you know, you said ultimate adventure sort of Earthbound movie. And, I, you know, I agree with that. Oh, it's just perfect. It just doesn't put a foot wrong for me. You know, no matter how many times I rewatch it. And I think it was something George Lucas was saying when he was talking about the fourth movie. He was kind of saying that, I'm sure if people went back and watched some of the early movies, they'd find fault with them and stuff. And I probably could with the other two, but with Raiders, every time I watch it, I can't find any fault with it. You know,
it's just a
great, perfect adventure movie. It's just got everything there, really. So, given that, do you want to move on to Raiders of the Lost Ark and kind of a bit of a chat about that?
Certainly.
Dr. Jones. Again, we see there is nothing you can possess which I cannot take away.
Nearly 3,000 years, man has been searching for the Lost Ark.
The Nazis have had teams of archaeologists running around the world looking for all kinds of religious artifacts.
They want you to get a hold of the Ark before the Nazis do, and they're prepared to pay handsomely for it.
The Germans have a great advantage over us. They are near to discovering the Well of Souls.
And if you put the staff in a certain place at a certain time of day, the sun shone through here, made a beam that came down on the floor here, and gave you the exact location of the Lost Ark.
Perhaps the Ark is still waiting in some antechamber for us to discover.
I learned to hate you in the last 10 years.
I never meant to hurt you.
We are simply passing through history. This is history.
Show them. Show them.
The army which carries the Ark before it is invincible.
Jones!
Inside the Ark are treasures beyond your wildest aspirations. You want to see it open as well as I.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was obviously directed by Steven Spielberg. The story was by George Lucas and Philip Kaufman. Screenplay was by Lawrence Kasdan. And also, I mean, I just want to say, I actually think screenplay and stuff like it is really important because obviously they're the person that's actually writing the story, really.
Definitely.
They're the one that's doing the sort of, the dialogue and stuff like that. So I think it's really important to give Lawrence Kasdan a bit of a kind of, do you know what I mean, big up, because he did a good old job. It came out on the 12th of June 1981, and it was made on a budget of $18 million.
Oh, wow.
And when you sort of think, you know, of nowadays, and I know that people can say it's relative to the time and stuff, but still, you know, the amount of money they spend on making a movie now, and I think you could still release Raiders at cinema now and it would stand up pretty well with everything else that's out at the moment.
I agree. $18 million, that's fascinating. I did not know that.
Yeah.
And it's bigger than a lot of the movies now. $18 million. Wow, I'm thinking about this, the giant boulder scene. $18 million.
I know.
The big scene at the end. $18 million total. That's, wow.
And, you know, and given the fact they shot kind of around the world, like in Tunisia and places like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
But it actually made, it says domestic box office, which I'm assuming that means the States. It made over $242
million. Wow.
And worldwide, it made approximately $384 million. Now, it cost them $80 million. I mean, That's a good old day. Do you know what I mean? You know, that's a good old profit margin.
Wow.
And they shot it in, and it only took them just over 70 days to make it. That sounds like nothing, does it?
70?
70 days to shoot it.
Yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. So that 2.5 months or so.
Something like that, yeah. Because I think Spielberg sort of went... It's either Spielberg or Lucas kind of said they wanted to kind of basically make it in the same way that the old sort of cliffhanger serials were made, like on a sort of small budget and a tight time scale. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sort of, you know, as I say, embarrass. What's the word I'm looking for? Not embarrass. I'm not going to insult anyone listening to this by actually telling them the story, because I'm working on the basis, if you're listening to this, you know the story. And if not, why don't you know? Because you should know, because everyone should have seen this movie by now at least 4 times.
I'm going to assume that if people are actually listening to us talk about Indiana Jones, they've seen the movies.
Yeah, exactly.
There may be spoilers.
Yeah, there may be spoilers. He lives at the end. That's let's just, you know, rather than just shoot the breeze, let's just be a bit specific. What are your favourite scenes? What did you like? What was the stuff that stood out and you thought this was just cracking?
Okay, well, I'll tell you a little story, a little background story. I'm a little bit younger than you, so I was not old enough to see this when it came out in the theatre.
No, that's
I
right,
was...
rub it in.
No. I'm just setting up here. So the first time I saw it was on TV, actually. I remember I didn't see the whole thing. I'd come in from some sort of a youth function with some other kids, and we'd actually seen Ernest Saves Christmas, which I'm not proud of.
No,
but
shouldn't
we'd
be.
We'd come in from that, and I came in. So I guess this was be like 87 or something like that, mm-hmm. which is shameful. But it was on TV when I got home, and it was the scene where they're digging in, I guess it's Egypt,
yeah.
and they're uncovering the Well of Souls.
Yeah.
And I remember just sitting down, and instantly, just like, I was like, wow, this is cool. And so I watched it from that point forward. So the scenes that stick out in my mind from that first viewing are when he goes down into the Well of Souls and he gets the staff and the beam of light hits the staff and then illuminates the point where the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be. That sticks with me. The snakes in the tomb or whatever. All the snakes, that scene with the giant Egyptian statues, that sticks with me. That's one of my favorite scenes.
Mm.
And he's hanging from and Belloc's at the top rubbing it in.
Yeah.
I love great. That scene. And the scene that horrified me when I was a kid is the end scene, where the guy's face melts off.
Oh, man, yeah.
To a kid, that is terrifying. And even now when I watch that, that's pretty gruesome for a PG-rated movie.
Yeah.
But that, and then when I saw it later, I actually had my parents buy me the VHS so I could see the whole thing. And I remember I just love the whole opening, whatever it is, 10 or 15 minutes where they go after the idol. That's actually probably my favorite scene in the movie, that opening scene. Throw me the idol! With, what's that guy's name? Dr. Octopus.
Oh, Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina.
Yeah.
With him, yeah. I just love that scene. He's running from the natives over the hill.
It's just
that scene sums up that movie, that first 15 minutes or so. You got everything in there.
Yeah.
You got archaeology, you got natives, you've got Belloc, you've got betrayal, the whip.
You got seaplane. You can't
there
leave
you
that
go.
Seaplane.
What about you? What sticks out for you?
Some of the scenes you mentioned, and some different ones as well. I have to say, you know, I went to see this at the cinema. And, again, I saw it when it came out, so no one really knew what to expect or anything like that. And I remember what was really clever about it was that whole opening scene, like the first 5 minutes, you never saw him. You know, you saw the hat, you saw the jacket, you know, but you never actually saw his face until literally one of his guys pulls a gun on him. And then he sort of whips the gun out of his hand, and then he sort of comes, you know, he comes into the screen. And my first thought was, this guy is an absolute badass. He hadn't even done anything really yet. Do you know what I mean? I mean, okay,
yeah.
But you just think this guy is an absolute badass.
From the moment he's on screen, he's already larger than life.
Yeah, definitely. definitely. And it's, and I think almost the way it was shot, so he literally fills the screen. You know this is a, you know, almost like a force to be reckoned with. So that scene I really loved. Again, anyone that knows me knows that I have a real love and a real passion for music and film soundtracks, and it was this movie that gave that to me, really. Mainly from the bit where he's kind of being chased by the Jovitos after he's kind of left Belog and stuff. And the music has been good anyway, but then literally there's a bit where he kind of he jumps onto the sort of little vine and he swings onto the water, and that's the first time you hear the Indiana Jones theme playing. And I remember just sitting up in my chair going, "My, you know, why am I enjoying this scene so much?" And then I realised it was the music that was playing. It had that real kind of old school adventure-y type music, but at the same time it was really modern, if that makes sense. So I love the opening scene. I love the fact that even though when you watch it, most people for about the first 20 minutes just call him Dr. Jones or they call him Indy. And you never actually discover that his name is actually Indiana Jones until he goes to see Marion.
That's true.
He kind of walks in and she sort of says, "Indiana Jones." That's the first time you actually hear his name said properly. And then she punches him. You know, it's just quality. And she was just, you know, she was fantastic in it anyway. Because again, I hadn't really seen a female character done like that when I was a kid. You know, everyone had been a bit damsel in distress. Yeah, Princess Leia had kind of started doing that, but everyone, she was still a little bit damsel in distress. Whereas Marion, she had bits like that, but at the same time, most of it, she just kicked ass.
Yeah.
Like you, I love the map room scene. That scene was quality. I liked actually when he was Professor Jones, when he was explaining the arc to like the two guys from the government. I loved that scene because, you know, I'd watched the first part of the movie and he was this kind of, you know, tough, rough adventurer. Almost kind of, you know, not Superman, but a larger-than-life character. And then he becomes kind of Clark Kent almost because he's got his glasses, he's got his, like, you know, his suit. He's almost a little bit bumbly in some ways.
Very much, yeah.
And then he's in the, you know, and then he's kind of back in his outfit and stuff. And what makes me laugh is when he's in his kind of professor outfit and whatever, he's always clean shaven, and the minute he goes to Indy, suddenly he develops this like massive 5 o'clock shadow, and he almost looks different in that movie between the two characters, you know.
He does very much. There's a physical difference,
yeah, and like you say, and the way he kind of carries himself seems different as well.
In my mind, when he's Dr. Jones, he's always a little bit ill at ease and uncomfortable, yeah. But when he's Indiana Jones, he's in his element.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I could reel off scene after scene, but the last two scenes I'll say is
the whole movie.
Yeah, is the two scenes that made me cheer, and I did cheer in the cinema, was the scene where they basically, the Nazis are getting away with the Ark, and he kind of turns to Salah and Mara, and he's like, you know, get back to Cairo, get us some transport to England, boat, plane, anything, meet me at Omar's, be ready for me, I'm going after that truck. And then, you know, Salah's like, how? And he's like, I don't know, I'm making something, so I go. And then the next scene, you see him on a horse. Do you know what I mean? I just wasn't expecting it at all. And I remember applauding, and people in the cinema applauding, when he was kind of like racing out after the truck. And I just thought, this is a guy who just don't quit. He just don't, you know, no matter what it throws at him, he just don't quit. And so my second scene for that is when they come onto the boat and they take the Ark and they put it into a submarine and they kidnap Marion as well, the Nazis. And you've got the captain there, and his first mate comes down to him and he's like, I can't find Dr. Jones, Captain. I've looked everywhere. And he's like, he's got to be here somewhere. Look again. He's like, I found him. Where? There. And you see Indy climb up the side of a submarine. Do you know what I mean? And the music's going and they all cheering and Indy does a little like salute. And I was just like, I remember turning to my brother going, who the hell is this guy? They can't kill him. They can't drown him. They put him in a vat of snakes and he still gets out. I just loved it. Absolutely loved that movie. So, yes, they were my favourite scenes.
Do you know what else I like about all three of the movies? Is the opening Paramount logo always transitions to a mountain in the scene?
Yes. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that is cool. And I love the fact that the end of Raiders was in some ways was a very early twist. You know, because you've gotten so used to watching movies, the hero, you know, saves the day, he wins, you know, gets the girl, gets whatever he's gone after. And in this one, yeah, he got the girl, he kind of saved the day. Although you could argue God saved the day, really. But, you know. You piss off the Almighty, that's what happens, faces get melted. But, you know, the actual thing that he went after, the thing that he was obsessed with, the government just took. They just took it all away from it at the end. And the whole point of the movie was to get the Ark, and he didn't get it. He didn't get to keep it. He didn't get to kind of enjoy his victory. And I loved that. I just loved that end scene of the old guy kind of wheeling the Ark down in the crate, and there's this huge warehouse that he's in. Just a great end to that movie, I think.
But at least they put their top men on it.
Yeah, right.
Top men.
Are you ready for a bit of Raiders of the Lost Ark trivia?
Oh, okay, sure.
Cool. It was, I mean, obviously, most people know this one, that, in fact, I'll test you. He was originally cast as Indiana Jones.
Tom Selleck.
Here we go. It's an old one, isn't it? I don't know how it would have worked if he'd got it.
I can't say that it would have been nearly as good. I love Tom Selleck as Magnum, and yeah. I love him in some of his Western roles, but I cannot see him as Indiana Jones.
No.
It would have been completely different.
I think if he'd got it, I think it would have been far more comedy.
Yeah.
It would have been far more. I mean, it's tongue-in-cheek anyway, but I think it would have been far more tongue-in-cheek, I think, if he'd got it. On one of the DVDs, I think, there's a screening. Is it a screening? Not screening. What would you call it? Screen test.
I'll have to break that out again. You know, I mean to watch them all again before I go see the new one, but I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on there somewhere. I might be imagining it now. I might have watched it online. And, yeah, I definitely thought it had that kind of tongue-in-cheek vibe to me.
Yeah.
But the guy who played one of Indy's guides, he was the bloke he at the start who pulled a gun on him and then later got kind of, well, killed, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, he also played the bloke with the monkey.
Oh.
See, in my head, that was more of an explosive reveal. That was.
No way.
There you go.
That guy at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, him.
Was the guy with the monkey?
Yeah.
Oh my. I gotta lay down.
Well, okay. All right, let me hit you with
bad
some...
dudes. I'm sorry.
A British soul is a Tory soul. Let me hit you with some deleted scene science. Because, I mean, I remember I bought the comic adaptation of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And there was some stuff in there I remember reading, and I thought that wasn't in the movie. And when I went to sort of do some research to do this, it had some of these deleted scenes and stuff. And a lot of this stuff was in the comic. And it was in the kind of the book version of the movie, but wasn't actually in the movie. And one of the huge plot things that was cut from the movie was the fact that, you know, when they go to... I can't remember the guy's name now, but it's Stella's mate who basically... deciphers the Staff of Ra medallion.
Yes.
And tells them, you know, how high it should be and stuff. He actually also tells them that if you touch the Ark, you will die. If you look at the Ark when it's opened, you will die. He tells them that in the sort of comic and I think in the book. But that's cut from the movie. And that's why, you know, at the end where Indy sort of says, you know, whatever happens, Marion, don't look at it.
That makes sense.
That's where that comes from.
Hmm.
And that's why, when you actually watch it, when they actually find the Ark, no one actually touches the Ark.
I wonder why they cut that.
I know, it seems
I take it for
odd.
Granted now, but that makes sense.
Because I did think, I mean, not at the time, probably years later after I'd watched it a couple of times, like, how did he know to say to Marion, like, you know, don't look at it, it's just obviously a kind of guess, I suppose. But right. I just thought, given the fact that the way they made him out at the beginning was... he was a kind of archaeologist and scientist sort of thing, and he didn't really buy the whole kind of you know, religious side of it, that it was this kind of force of, you know, God sort of thing that could, you know, lay waste entire regions and stuff. Like, he didn't buy into that. To him, it was just a historical artifact. So it just seemed a bit weird that suddenly at the end he was like, don't look at it. He was like, well, if you don't really believe in that, why are you bothered?
Yeah.
You know, so, but that kind of leads into that a little bit. Also,
this is a side question. Let me ask you something real quick. Do you think, they've never really said this as far as I know, how do you think his experiences have affected the character of Indiana Jones? Do you think he's become more of a believer in these things? Because even in The Last Crusade, he when he has to go find his father's, you know, he gets the journal, the Grail Diary and everything, he still seems kind of skeptical.
Yeah, I actually found that it wasn't a problem. But I did find that a little bit untrue, is a better word to the character, because at least with Temple of Doom, I could buy his skepticism, because Temple of Doom is set before Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
I think it's set in 1935 and Raiders is 1936, whereas Last Crusade, I think, is 1938. So I could buy that in Temple of Doom, whereas Last Crusade is set, as you say, you know, after the events of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And he's been through this huge adventure with this artifact. And even at the end, he's acknowledging the fact that the artifact is, it's got some kind of power. There's something about it. And then it was almost like it was a reset button when he got into Last Crusade for the sake of the story. Because he was all kind of like, oh, I don't really believe in this and stuff like that. And I'm like, but, yeah. Come on, it's a bit difficult to buy that this time round.
Yeah. Maybe they'll address that in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah. But no, that was a good question. Because I did think that at the time when I was watching Last Crusade, it all seemed a bit convenient that you suddenly didn't believe stuff again.
Yeah.
No, the last thing I was going to say, and then we can probably move on, actually, is, you know the bit where he's on the submarine?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever wonder what actually happened after that? Because it's one of the things, when I saw it, was like, it's great, that scene was great, but actually, he's in a submarine, isn't it going to go in the water? How is he getting inside and stuff like that?
Yeah.
In the comic and in the book, he actually uses his whip and he lashes himself to the periscope. And it always stays like above periscope depth. Which is lucky.
Interesting.
Hmm. But I think the way they actually did it in the film, I think, probably worked better.
Yeah.
But they did actually shoot it, because there is some production shots of him kind of tied to a periscope sort of thing, but obviously that didn't work out.
Yeah.
So.
It's kind of silly.
Yeah. Bless him. Do you want to move on to Temple of Doom?
Certainly.
Okay. So. I remember seeing the trailer for Temple of Doom, actually, as a side thing, and I was just so excited. It didn't show you anything. All it showed you was a plane, and you know they've got that whole red line going to different countries.
Mm-hmm.
It just showed you all the countries that they were going to shoot it, and then they said, oh, coming next year in Indiana Jones Temple of Doom. And I just remember going, I've got to see this movie. And I just think that was the only trailer I saw for it, and I went to see the movie. And I think you compare that to now, and, you know, a year before a movie comes out, you're getting teaser trailers, you're getting production.
You know the whole plot of a movie before it even comes to the
exactly.
theater now.
And I just find that really interesting, and I'm wondering if that's why we haven't seen it. I mean, we've seen lots of photos and stuff like that, but we really haven't seen a great deal of Indiana, I'm going to call it Indiana Jones 4 because it's such a long title.
Right.
We haven't seen a great deal of Indiana Jones 4, and I still don't really know a great deal about it.
Right. No, neither do I.
And I think that's quite good. I think they're obviously trying to keep the mystery.
Yeah. And I'm glad. You know, I've still only watched that first trailer. That's all I'm going to let myself see.
Yeah.
Because, and I actually saw a commercial on television also, because I couldn't stop myself. but I'm not pursuing any spoilers or anything. I don't want to know anything about the plot, because I know I will enjoy the movie that much more if I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm finding it hard. I have to say, I really am, because it was something I was looking at today, and it sort of said, oh, we'll click on this, and sort of said spoilers, and I went, no, can't, not going to look, because I just don't want to be spoiled. I really don't want to be. Most movies these days, I'm not bothered. They can tell me about it. I'm not too fussed. I'll still go and watch it, and I'll still enjoy it. But for this, I've waited so long. I mean, I haven't waited long for another Indiana Jones movie because I didn't think they were going to do one. But now that they're doing one, now that we're actually here, and I'm nearly sort of, I'm within touching distance, do you know what I mean, of my cinema seat. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil that now by kind of going in and knowing everything there is to know about it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But they do seem to be keeping it under wraps.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is good.
Right, Temple of Doom. Temple of Doom, I've got no dates for this, so I don't know when it came out, so...
It's 84.
Oh, nice. Nice to see
you. I don't know the month or anything.
That's alright, it's just nice to see you've got a professional in the midst. I don't know what the budget was, actually.
Well, you are unprepared.
I know, well, look, I can tell you it did make over... 179 million in the USA and over 330 million worldwide.
So it still did just as well.
Yeah.
Worldwide, but not quite as well.
Yeah.
In the US. That's strange.
Well, I mean, this is the one, isn't it? This is the one that has a little bit of a...
This divides people.
This does divide people. This does divide
some people. Think, Lindy, my wife, it's her favorite one.
Really?
Mine? It's my least favorite. Not saying I don't like it. I still love it. It's Indiana Jones. But there's less of the things that I love about Indiana Jones in this movie.
Okay. I mean, before we get into it, because I think this is going to be an interesting one, actually. Okay. I think when I saw it, I, for the first time, absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how old I was, but I probably was in my teens. I loved it. As I said, this is the only movie that my mate, I'm going to say my mate Dave, because not everyone will know Dave, but my mate Dave, who is a very outgoing person, swore to me when we left that cinema he would never, ever go and see another Indiana Jones movie with me.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, because I was that loud.
And were you like... Did you stand up and make a fool of yourself?
No, well, I probably made a fool of myself. I wasn't standing up, but I was kind of... There was cheering when you needed to cheer, and I was kind of... I kept nudging. Oh my god! I can't believe this is happening. Why is he doing? Oh no! What's going on? Come on, Lindy, you could. And he was just. You could see him sinking into his chair as the film went on. You know, he was just embarrassed for himself and for me.
So this is why he says he's not going to go see the fourth one with you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. And he did go and see the third movie with me, and I was quiet up until the last 10 minutes. But we'll come on to that.
Okay.
So, no, I did enjoy it, but over the years, I think, like you, if someone said to me, what was the Indiana Jones film, not necessarily I liked the least, but if I had to put them in pecking order, that one would be the one that would be number three for me.
That's a good way to put it. It's hard to say it's your least favorite, but
yeah.
It's the third in line. Yeah.
I mean, definitely, out of them, there was definitely stuff in that movie that did annoy me, though.
Then its name was Willie Scott.
Yes, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Let's just get into this, shall we? What did you like? And then I'll ask you what you didn't like, because there is stuff that we didn't like in this one, I'm sure.
Okay, let's see. What did I like? I love the opening scene, again. Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones knows, they know how to make an opening scene.
Yeah.
Of course I loved the mine cart scene. The scene that I used to not like because it freaked me out so much, but now that I love, and it's the first thing I think of when I think of the Temple of Doom, is Kalima! Kalima! Shakshone Kalima! And then the poor guy going, Hum Nom Shibo, Hum Nom Shibo, Hum Nom Shibo, Hum Nom Shibo. Used to freak me out, but now I love it.
Yeah, you're scaring me, man.
I'm sorry. I do that to Lindy sometimes, and it scares her still.
Right. So long as you're not holding a beating heart when you did it.
Well, sometimes.
Hey, look at this.
It's still beating. All of those scenes I love. I'm trying to think if there's anything... Oh, I also actually love the scene where they go into the collapsing room or whatever, where the roof comes down.
Oh, it's spikes.
And that's it, and the spikes. And Short Round goes, "We step on fortune cookie," or something like that. And I'm just like, oh, that's nasty. And then Willie comes in, and she reaches her hand, and then she comes out, and it's covered in all these nasty bugs. I'm not afraid of bugs, but those are some nasty bugs.
I mean, I am.
And, millipedes, and I don't even know what all.
I even to this day, I struggle when that scene comes on. Badly struggle. Because I don't like insects at all. And that the snakes, not a problem. Rats, not a problem. Insects, no. No. So that scene scared the hell out of me, that did.
Yeah.
Sorry, you keep going, mate.
No, that's fine. I'm done. I'll talk about my least favorite after you've said your favorite.
My favorite stuff in this movie was, as you say, it you know, they know how to do an intro. But what I loved, I remember when I was watching it, and he comes in and he's kind of tux and stuff. And I remember at the start being like, oh, that's great, but where's Indy? I don't want him in a tux. Oh, where's the hat? You know, and all that. And I was kind of really all that. And then you have the scene in the club and they escape, and then they kind of they get on a plane. And I just never forget this scene. And it is one of my favourite Indiana Jones scenes, actually, even though this is my weakest film. Where the plane kind of flies off, and in the next scene, Indy comes out of a cockpit, and he's there in his outfit.
Yep.
And the 5 o'clock shadow is coming from nowhere, and it's there, you know, and he's tanned, and I'm like, what? Because when you're
in that plane for a while,
obviously, but how long does it take him to change? Do you know what I mean? But he comes out, and I'm like, yeah, okay. And I literally sat up in my seat thinking, right, okay, stuff's going to kick off now because he's changed. And stuff did kick off about 10 minutes later, really, didn't it? Yep. I love this movie because it had a lot of real classic cliffhanger stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, the plane with no pilot, the classic trap with the ceiling coming down and the spikes. You know, the rope bridge which collapses. I mean, it was all there, you know. So I loved all of that. I know some people probably don't like him because they think he was annoying or whatever, but I loved the Short Round.
Oh, I love him too.
You know, and I'm not a particularly great fan of kids in movies, even when I was a kid.
Are you holding out hope for a little cameo on Indiana Jones 4? A little Short Round cameo.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice. You call him Dr. Jones, doll.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
You cheat, Dr. Jones. You cheat very big. Yeah. You call him Dr. Jones, Joe. My professional name. I mean, the good thing about that movie, actually, he had some real cool indie lines. There's between him and Short Round was a real kind of, because he was like a mini indie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he even had his own hat sort of thing. And, the two scenes I liked were there's a bit where Short Round comes up to tell him about the little kid that's escaped from the palace, and Indy's looking at the scrap of little parchment that he's got off the kid, and Short Round's like, "What do you think, Dr. Jones?" And he said, "Oh, I think someone believes the good luck rock from this village is one of the lost Shankara stones." "What Shankara?" "Fortune and glory, kid. Fortune and glory." I mean, I just love those sorts of lines. I just love that.
Do you ever wonder why they, like, as much as we've said we enjoy Short Round, do you ever wonder what that meeting was like after Raiders of the Lost Ark, and they're like, okay, for the sequel, we want the same amount of action, but we need a child sidekick. And better yet, maybe Asian, Oriental, something in that range. Well, how did that happen?
I know.
Because he's not a sidekick kind of guy.
No. I think you could argue that Marion in some ways was a sidekick and that his dad was a sidekick.
Yeah.
But not a kid.
I see them kind of as their own supporting characters. But
Yeah.
Like, he's taking care... Like, it's Robin. It's Batman and Robin, basically. He's taking care of this little kid.
It did seem like an odd... It did seem like an odd mix.
I just wonder whose idea that was.
Yeah.
I think that was Lucas.
Probably Lucas.
Well, we need to give him a little sidekick.
Friggy the Kitty. But he was good. He was good. I have to say, you know, I was really unsure about him, but Short Round did a good job, and he had some good lines in it.
Definitely.
So yes, there was a lot of stuff I did enjoy about this movie, but there was also some stuff I didn't like about this movie. Mm-hmm. So, do you want to go first?
Okay, I don't have a whole lot. The scene right after the plane. Or where they jump out of the plane on the inflatable raft, to me, was too much of a suspension of disbelief.
No, you can do that. I've done that.
I don't believe you.
Sit. No, I've done it, mate. I'll send you the photos. I'll email.
You've jumped out of a plane on a raft.
Yeah. To be fair, really? It was just me on my own.
You know, it was just you on your own, but you've got pictures.
Yeah, I've got pictures.
I don't believe you.
That's fine. Pictures.
We're done.
Yeah, pictures.
You send me a picture of, like, your eye. It's like, here it is. Here's my proof.
I'm done. You're chatting rubbish, man. You jumping out of planes and stuff. Crazy fool.
You shoot a picture of the sky. You're like, yeah, here we were. This is right after we jumped out. There's this guy. Yeah, that was less like, what? I mean, clearly they're going for that Saturday matinee serial thing.
Yes.
And that's fine. But that was just a little too far for me.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about the little, what was he? The little ruler kid that, the little snooty prince.
Oh.
He got on my nerves.
The only good thing about him was that Short Round got to give him a kick in.
Yeah, that's true. Also, I'm not really, crazy about the whole blood drinking thing. The, whatever that was, the voodoo.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know. It didn't bother me. I just didn't think it was, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. Didn't sit right.
It was a very dark movie, wasn't it? Compared
it
to,
really was.
Compared to Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was very, I thought it was anyway.
It was very dark.
You know, as you say, drinking blood and, you know, Indy getting, getting taken over by it and stuff like that. And I thought, you know, the scene in the actual temple when he sticks Willy in the contraption to get her kind of load into the hot lava, which I was cheering. That was one of the parts I was cheering. And she kind of spits in his face. I remember that bit, and then he kind of wipes it and then starts kind of going, he starts chanting again. I thought, this is a little bit dark.
Molaram.
You know, yeah. Molaram, yes. And then and there's a little bit where, like, you know, Short Round comes running out and he's like, Dr. Jones, and then he hits him, and I was just, and it's not even like a little kind of cuff, you just sort of go, hey, Short Round, it's a real kind of, you know, and I was
like a jaw-breaking backhand.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Willie Scott, that's my last, you know, Willie Scott in her own was fine. I think it was a fine choice for the movie to have a female sidekick, but maybe with 50% less screaming.
Oh my god, yes.
You can have some screaming. It's okay when the time calls for it, but maybe 50% less.
Yeah.
She screamed at everything.
Oh man. Could have said a name and she would have screamed.
Yeah. So what about you?
I'll get the first one out of the way. Willie Scott. Every scene she was in, she annoyed me. I have to say, even when she wasn't screaming, she annoyed me. Because she was... I loved Marion so much as a character. I just thought she was such a fantastic character. And when I started writing my own stuff, I purposely... Every kind of female character I stuck in my stories, I wanted them to be like her. I wanted them to be strong characters. Yes, there were scenes where Marion was screaming and stuff, but to be fair, the scenes she was doing it in, I would be screaming if I was in there. You know, you surround me with a load of rotten corpses and watch me scream. Do you know what I mean?
Such an annoying scream, though.
Yeah, but with Willie Scott, it was just too much. It was just too much.
Yeah.
You know, I think, in fact, the only sort of time she was screaming that I actually kind of semi-agreed with her was when they stuck her in the pit of, like, you know, they had all the insects and stuff. I thought, okay, fair enough. But everything was like, scream, scream, scream. Oh.
Yeah, elephant blows some water on you. Ah!
Oh! Push her down the mine shaft. Ah! Okay, granted. Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't like the dinner scene. I thought it was just too much.
Okay.
I think it got some backlash. I think a lot of people said it showed sort of Indians and stuff, Indian people, like in a bad light. I think it got quite a bit of a backlash for that. It's kind of
that's what got the Indian people in a bad light, not the ripping out of human heart.
No, I think it was a kind of everything, really. That was one of the things, but it was a kind of everything. It was kind of you shine us all in a negative light type deal.
Yeah, see, the first and the third, you're dealing with Nazis, and it's okay to talk about Nazis, but they were just kind of generalizing, weren't they, in that second movie?
Yeah.
I mean, India in the late 20s, was it? Was it early 30s or late 20s?
It was 35.
Oh, okay.
And it's all about the Fagi, which I think they were a real cult. I think they were a real cult. But, as for a lot of the rest of it, I mean, obviously there's probably a lot of artistic license went on.
Yeah.
But I did think it was a lot darker movie. Even some of the fighting seemed darker in some ways. And the fighting in Raiders was pretty hardcore.
Mm-hmm. For PG, it was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be interested, as you say, nowadays, whether it'd still get a PG rating. Because, like you say, you've got people drinking blood and hearts being pulled out left, right, and centre.
There's no way. Just for the scene alone where the big bruiser gets run over by the propellers of the plane, that right there is probably enough to get you PG-13.
Yeah.
And then the analog of that scene in the second movie is where the guy gets put through the grinding stone or whatever that was.
Yeah. You know that's the same bloke, isn't it?
Was it?
Did not know that.
I did not know that.
No. Pat Roach. He it's a bit of a kind of running joke because... Yeah, he was the bald guy who gets sliced up, and then he was the big guy who gets crushed. And he was also a German SS officer in Last Crusade, but they cut his scene because they were going to have another sort of big... So it was a kind of running joke. Every sort of movie, he'd have a big fight with Pat Roach in it.
That was on the Indiana Jones podcast that we listened to, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember that. I didn't know who Pat Roach was.
He used to be. He's a English guy. He used to be a wrestler. I remember him when I was a kid. He sadly passed away, I think, a few years back now.
Oh, okay.
Because I have to say, that would have been cool if they'd got him in. Because I recognised him straight off in the second movie. And that would have been cool if somehow they'd got him into the fourth one. But sadly not the case.
I don't know why I never picked up on that.
One of the last things I'll say that I didn't like about Temple of Doom, actually, see, it sounds like I'm really bitching it, but I did enjoy it.
It's all out of love.
Was actually, you know, the scene you were talking about with when they jumped out of the airplane into the raft and stuff, and then they sailed out. There was a lot more blue screen work in this movie. You know, not CGI, but kind of blue screen stuff. And
it's more obvious.
That's the movie that when I watch now, it doesn't stand the test of time anywhere near as well as Raiders. And it's because Raiders has got far less of that kind of stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's in there, but it's subtly done. You know, and to be honest, really, the real big special effect thing is right at the end with the Ark of the Covenant, and that still stands up very well, I think.
If we wait long enough, Lucas will go back and redo those scenes in CG and replace the alligators at the end with... computer graphic crocodiles.
Yeah.
And there'll be a little R2-D2 in the background.
Bless him.
But having said everything we've said, we both really do enjoy this movie, don't we?
No, definitely. I really did. And what I loved about it is that they really went overboard with the Raiders theme. Every meet it was... Just every time he did something, it got played. And I loved that. And I really got a laugh out of the, which I think now everyone knows now when they go to, if they haven't seen it before. But you know the bit where he's running out and two guys with swords jump out at him.
Mm-hmm.
And they do like the speedy sword thing, and he goes for his gun, and the gun's not there.
Yeah,
I thought that was quite funny. But also as well a little bit. See, I'm going to be really nitpicky now. And obviously that was done as a bit of a kind of ha-ha to what happened in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
But And he gave a little sly grin when he did it, as if to say, oh, I haven't got a gun this time round. I'm like, right, Raiders of the Lost Ark was set afterwards. So why would you be given a little sly grin? Because that's not happened yet.
Maybe that's not the first time he's pulled a gun on a swordsman.
True. Good point.
Maybe he has a long-running tradition of it.
Given Indy's past, I'm pretty sure that's not the first time he's pulled a gun on a swordsman.
In every episode of the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, he shot a swordsman.
Did he?
No.
I was going to say, I don't know what Young Indiana Jones you were watching, because it certainly wasn't the one I was.
Remember the little, he was like the little kid, and he was in Egypt, and he shot a swordsman in that.
Did he?
That
would have been nice. Would have raised a bit of excitement, I tell you. Anyway, we'll get on to that. Right, let's move it along.
We're about to complete a great quest. The Holy Grail, Dr. Jones.
Oh, rats.
This is it. Look. The shield is the second mark. We found it.
Indiana Jones is on the quest of a lifetime. But for some adventures, one Jones is not enough.
Dad? Junior? Don't call me that, please.
Follow me! Out of the way!
A race across three continents.
And in this sort of race, there's no silver medal for finishing second.
Hang on, Dad, we're going in!
Into the homeland of the enemy.
Nazis. I hate these guys.
Our situation has not improved.
In his search for the Holy Grail.
How dare you kiss me?
Are you crazy? Don't go between them!
Go between them, are you crazy?
Where's my father?
In the belly of that steel beast.
Dad! Junior!
You call this archaeology?
The quest for the Grail is not archaeology. It's a race against evil.
Germany has declared war on the Jones boys.
Those people are trying to kill us.
I know, Dad!
It's a new experience for me.
Happens to me all the time. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Have the adventure of your life. Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yay. This is actually very close behind Raiders for me. I love The Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. You can go first, my friend, then.
No, I mean, you go ahead. I've gone first the last
couple of times. Okay. Let me just see. Let me just see if I've got any facts on this one. Ooh. Apparently, opened May 24th, 1989. That's just a little bit before my birthday. And became the first film in history to gross $50 million in a single week. The other movie that had that record was actually Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Overall, it pulled in $197 million in domestic gross. Worldwide, it nearly hit $500 million.
Wow.
And that had a budget of $48 million. So obviously it's gone
still
up.
Cheap.
It's still cheap. It's gone up a little bit, but then, as you say, that's probably more to do with its years on, as opposed to actually they were just doing ridiculous CGI stuff, which cost loads of money. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, you know, and the return on that. I mean, in some ways, it amazes me actually that given the amount of money they made with the budget, that they stopped at three. I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
For as long as they did, because, you know, that's a money spinner.
I would like to know why they stopped at three. And, I mean, clearly they probably thought, well, that was a nice trilogy. We've made three movies. And then as time went by, they said, we sure did love, you know, making Indiana Jones. I guess that's probably what happened.
Yeah.
But, man, I wish they just kept making them.
Well, yeah, because I think, you know, when you look at, I'm trying to think of other movie, sort of trilogy movies. When you look at, say, like the Star Wars movies, there was a kind of definite beginning, middle, and end to those movies.
Yeah, they're a saga.
yeah, you know, whereas
the Godfather.
Yeah, you know, so in some ways it's taken you three films, six films, whatever, to tell the story. But with the Indiana Jones movies, or trilogy, each movie was a self-contained story. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, The Last Crusade referenced stuff in terms of how he became the way he was and stuff like that, but it was a self-contained movie. So it could have kind of gone the route of James Bond, really, and you could have, you know, whether it would have been a good idea, I don't know, but you could have knocked out another four movies and just kept calling Indiana Jones and the something, really.
Yeah.
So long as they're good stories, there's no reason why he couldn't have kept knocking them out, I think.
Well, my hope is that even though he's older, we're in that position now. Because mm-hmm. he says he's willing to do a fifth one.
Yeah.
And I will watch him if he's pushing a walker. I don't care. Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones. As long as he's there, I will watch him.
Oh, you see, but I find that quite... I'll pick you up on that one before we go back to Last Crusade. Because I remember when we were talking about this ages ago, and we were both mm-hmm. kind of saying, no, I'm not sure. And you were saying, no, I'm not sure. He looks, you know, he's a bit old for it now. And that's what I was saying. So, and I've kind of changed my mind. I have changed my mind on that. And
I've seen the trailer now.
Yeah.
He looks good for his age, man.
He does look good.
He still looks like Indiana Jones.
Too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. He just looks grizzled, Dad. Did he?
Exactly.
You know,
he just looks like he's got a little wisdom now.
Yeah. He looks to me. He still looks like I wouldn't want him to punch me. Sorry.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Like, much like my dad. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, he's a lot older than me, and I wouldn't want him to punch me. Yeah. Yep, Last Crusade. No, yeah, this comes in a real close second to Raiders for me. The only thing that I think nudges Raiders above it for me is the fact that Raiders isn't quite as light-hearted as Last Crusade is. I've heard it said actually that, you know, they almost did Last Crusade as a kind of antidote to Temple of Doom. Because Temple of Doom was so dark.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's possibly some of the reasons why they went, you know, quite light, I think, on some of the characters. I mean, I don't know.
It works for me, though. I don't mind the lightness at all.
No, I don't mind it, but I think what it was is when I first watched it, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. Not saying that I didn't. But for me, I mean, I'm just going to come out and say it was what happened. It was what they did to Marcus Brody. Because in Raiders, he came across as quite a kind of studious, serious academic.
Mm.
And in Last Crusade, they just kind of made him a bit of a bumbling idiot. And I personally didn't like that. To a certain extent, with Salah, you'd kind of... There was a couple of bits in Raiders where he kind of seemed a little bit jokey, a little bit bumbly almost. So I could kind of buy that with Salah. But with Marcus, they didn't do that. He was set up as a kind of serious type character, so it just seemed that they just suddenly turned him into making this kind of comic buffoon for the sake of it. And it kind of grated on me a little bit. But I enjoyed it. I just didn't quite like that. I would have much rather them sticking another character, to be honest.
Fair enough. That's a good point.
But no, I did. I loved the hell out of this movie, and, you know, probably one of the best casting I've seen in a movie. To cast Sean Connery as his dad,
mm-hmm.
he just couldn't get better than that.
He made so much of that movie for me. So many of my favorite parts of the movie involve Sean Connery.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole beginning scene of... I thought River Phoenix did a fan... I mean, young Indiana Jones, we'll talk about the TV series, but young Indiana Jones in the first sort of 20 minutes was young Indiana Jones. He had the mannerisms... He just had him down pat. The way he did a young version of Harrison Ford was just quality. And the scene that I loved, two scenes in this that stood out for me was the scene where you've got sort of young Indiana Jones and he thinks he's got away, and then the bad guys turn up, and you've got the guy. He's obviously the kind of Indiana Jones, the original Indiana Jones almost. Sort of says, you lost the kid, but it doesn't mean you have to like it. And then he puts the hat on his head, and then he sort of bows down, and when he comes up, he's Harrison Ford. I mean, like you said, Heath, they know how to do an intro. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he gets punched. it's just quality. Right. And
he gets your hero shot, and then he gets punched.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just that reminder that he's not indestructible, you know. And my second scene, and I would say it's a toss-up between this and Indiana Horse for my favourite scene of the entire trilogy, is the scene where all hell's breaking loose in the canon of the Crescent Moon, and there's a huge earthquake going on, and Indy's being held by his dad, and he's basically, he can almost reach the Holy Grail, and
Indiana.
Oh, it's the setup, I think, it's the setup, and I always talk about films overdoing things, but I thought it was the subtle way that through the whole movie, Sean Connery never ever called him Indiana. It was always Junior. Never right. in there. And it was just that last bit where he was just like, I can get it, Dad. I can almost reach it. Indiana, let it go. Just stunning. Stunning. And then after that, he went back to calling him Junior.
Yeah. We named the dog Indiana. Yeah. Junior. Great line.
And in the scene when they came out and... See, I actually really did like this movie because they learned so many cracking lessons. And one of the things John Williams, who did the music in all three movies, said was he felt like in Temple of Doom he used the Indiana Jones theme too much. Mm-hmm. And when he came to do the score for Last Crusade, he didn't want to do that. And when you listen to the Last Crusade, the soundtrack, the actual indie theme isn't used that often. Hardly at all, actually. But right at the end, there's a scene where, you know, they've run out of the canyon or whatever, the temple place, and Indy's standing there, and then his dad comes up behind him, and he's kind of like, you know, Elsa never believed in the Grail. She thought she found the prize, and Indy turns around, and he sort of, what did you find, Dad? And then he's like, me? Illumination. And it's like, bang! Dun, 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 and then the music kicks in. That was a scene I started cheering, and that was a scene Dave said, I can't believe you've made me come back to see another Indiana Jones movie with you. Because I was literally cheering, because I was waiting for that to come up. And then they jumped on horses and rode into the sunset. I mean,
and you cried a little, didn't
you? I did cry a little, because at the same time, I enjoyed the movie so much, and I just thought, that's it now.
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to do now?
I know that feeling. I had that feeling too, you know, when I saw it.
So, your turn.
Okay, let's see. Like I said, they all center mostly around Sean Connery, but... There's the scene where they're tied together, and there's a fire, and he's like, Dad, what? Dad, what? Love that scene. Love that she talks in her sleep. Love that. I also actually love the scene where Indiana Jones goes into the castle as a tapestry inspector or whatever.
Oh,
he's acting all effeminate. I was like, that's slapstick, but that's pretty funny. Love the whole beginning. I like the trials at the end. That's classic Indiana Jones right there. The invisible bridge.
That was leap of faith. The leap of faith was... That was quality. I liked when he kind of realised what it was, and it was like, oh, it's a leap of faith. And you could see him going, oh, you know, can't believe I've got to do it. That was good, yeah.
And the way they did that, too, without computer graphics, it looked like it was all just like a matte painting.
Oh, yeah.
It was being manipulated or something. I'm not sure, but it was really well done.
It was really good.
The stepping, stepping in the Jehovah, spelling Jehovah. But a Latin Jehovah starts with an I. I just love all of that stuff. You know, the more I think about it, it's so close behind Raiders.
Yeah. I think the comedy actually was done... The comedy in it was done really well, actually. Mm-hmm.
It really was. He goes to his dad and he's... You wouldn't have brought the grill with you, or the diary with you, would you? I should have mailed it to the Marx Brothers.
I think it's because he was on TV the other day, and that scene was on, because I was doing something in the room, and I came in, and she was watching it. And it was literally the way his dad was to the Nazis, where he was like, you dolt. My son wouldn't be stupid enough to send it back here. And you can see Indy sort of going, oh, no, no. And he's like, you didn't, did he? You didn't bring it, did you? You did. I was just like, I should have mailed it to the Marx Brothers. I was just quietly, because it's very much like how you kind of, how every kind of son has that sort of bit with their dad sometimes. You know they've messed up, and the dad sort of figures out you've messed up, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit, it's like when they're driving the car, and it's like they've escaped from something. So, oh, well, they don't come any closer than that.
I just really bought them as father and son, too. They just worked so well together.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford was just so intimidated by his dad and eager to please his dad.
Yeah.
Just wanting his approval. Did you ever see, there was like a, I don't know if you guys got it on your TV over there, but here there was a, and maybe last year, it was a tribute to Sean Connery by some film institute.
All right.
And Harrison Ford came out to present something, and he came out for a segment. He looked at Sean Connery and said, Dad. And I was like, oh, that's excellent.
I mean, I love the way in the movie, like, the whole movie, he was wearing a tie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, was that because his dad was it? So, you know, he had to keep a tie on to sort of, like, you know, look good at his dad.
Interesting.
Tie.
I bet it was.
And the other scene, actually, which was really good, was there was a lot of, like you say, really good, quiet father and son moments, I thought. When there was no comedy, it was just kind of the two of them really just acting their asses off, really, was the bit where they were in the motorbike together. And, you know, Sean Connery's like, you know, the quest for the Grail is not about archaeology. It's about, you know, a race against evil. And then Indy's kind of like, you know, I never understood his obsession, neither did Mom. And then, you know, basically then find out that, you know, Indy's mom had died from some kind of illness and stuff like that. And, you know, she'd hid the illness from the dad, and Indy never had known that. And it was just, it was a short scene, but you learned so much about the two of them from that scene.
That movie did so much to fill in the backstory of where he came from.
Yeah.
And what shaped him.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And you can actually look at Sean Connery in that movie, and it just is so believable to me. Like, he made this guy, Indiana Jones, like, he instilled in him the love of history and the love of archaeology and all of these things. And it just plays so well into the previous two movies that you've seen that it's totally believable that's what made him who he is.
Well, it's funny, actually, and it's kind of like, I don't know, 20 years on or whatever, and it's only just occurred to me now, in some ways, looking at that movie, because, you know, we've just talked and we've just said Indiana Jones is effectively two characters. You've got Professor Henry Jones, which is obviously his real name, and then you've got Indiana Jones. One's kind of quite kind of bumbly, quite, as you say, not particularly sure of himself, and the other one is just kind of, you know, hardcore adventurer. And the hardcore adventurer was basically influenced and created by the adventurer at the start of Last Crusade, and then the kind of academic, not too sure of himself side is basically kind of following his dad's footsteps.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd never really put the two together until now, to be honest. No, just really, really good movie. And I like the fact that the whole, you know, not to get sort of, you know, deep and philosophical for a moment, but I like the fact that the artifact they went after, like you say, was the Holy Grail, but I like the fact when they found it, there was no real huge CGI stuff. And I mean, yeah, the guy drank it and got old, which was quite harsh, but yeah, he was a bad guy, so.
It's just okay.
Yes, okay. But, you know, when you actually...
He was also a Nazi sympathizer.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? That's just double, man. Double death. He chose poorly. I love that old guy. He chose poorly.
The guy's so dry.
Yeah. No shit, Sherlock. Do you know what I mean? But, no, I like the fact that when he brought the girl back to his dad and used it on him, you know, in this day and age now, with CGI, there'd probably be some huge CGI effect of, like, the dad glowing and being lifted up into the air as he was healed. But they didn't do that. It was just he poured water and the wound disappeared. Job done. And it made it more powerful, I thought, anyway.
I hope that they don't over CG the fourth film.
Well, they've said they're not going to, so I guess we've just got to hope, I guess.
Have they? Okay. I've stayed away, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think they've said, like, maybe 30%. And I think they've kind of said a lot of it's kind of background stuff and things like that. And there's a little bit in the trailer which is kind of CGI. But to be honest, like, I look at it in the same way I look at Temple of Doom, you know. They use blue screen and stuff in that. It's of its time and whatever. As long as it's not overdone. I think if they kind of try and stick to a little bit like the way they did Raiders, where they did far less special effects. Because I actually think when you do that, it allows the movie... I think it's special effects that age movies. That's my kind of theory.
Yeah. And hairstyles.
And hairstyles, yeah. But I think, from, like you say, if you set you got a movie like Raids, which is set in the 30s anyway, so for a start, you've set it in the past, and you don't have a heavy reliance on CGI and special effects, so that in 20 years' time, people can sit there and go, oh, those effects look ropey. Then, you know, movies do tend to kind of stand up a bit longer, I think, so...
Okay.
Was there anything you didn't like about it?
You know, I was thinking... I can't really think of anything in this movie that I don't really like. You might point something out that I'm not thinking of immediately.
But... Yeah, that's fair enough. As I said, I already said about Marcus.
Yeah, I do agree with that. He was used as a comedy device in this movie.
Yeah. And that wasn't good. He didn't need to be. But, you know...
If he was a new character, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
We'd already met him, and he was not a comedy character.
Yeah. And I think they easily could have done that. But, you know, I understand why they wanted to have them all in, because they were in there from the beginning. So, but I just would have rathered him be a little bit more... And there was a couple of little bits where he was more like himself. Because there was a bit where he kind of said, you know, you're meddling with powers you can't possibly comprehend. And I was just, oh, that's him. That's the Marcus I want to see. And then he went back to being a bumbling idiot again. And I was just a bit... Oh. So that, I wouldn't have to say it was a, it didn't really put me off, but it was just a kind of something that niggled me.
Right.
The other thing I remembered when I was watching it, until right near the end, I didn't like the villain. I thought he was a rubbish villain.
Okay.
Because I thought Belloc was such a great villain, because he wasn't, in some ways he wasn't really a villain. He was kind of just, he was just kind of, as he said himself, you know, he was a reflection of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't running around, and what I loved about him was he wasn't running around with a gun, he wasn't kind of like snarling and things like that. He, you know, and he treated Marion pretty decently. For a lot of it anyway, until she weren't put in, until she didn't put out, and then he kind of changed his tune a bit. But, you know, right. He was a villain. And I loved the scene between the two of them where, Indy's got the bazooka and he's threatening to blow up the Ark, and Bella kind of clears everyone away and he's like, go on then, do it. Because he knows him that well, and he knows that if he was in that position, he couldn't do it. He couldn't blow it up, because it was all about the Ark for them. No one else mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a great villain. And whereas the villain in the third one, I thought, it was a bit meh until the end. When he shot Sean Connery, I did not see that coming.
Well, he wasn't menacing up until that point.
No.
He was just kind of he just came across as like a financier.
Yeah. He's just a bit... The other guy, the Nazi guy, I mean, he was a, you know, grade A arse. He was a proper villain.
Yeah.
Whereas he was just a bit... But when he sort of said, you know, when Indy was like, you know what, you know, you're not going to get anything from shooting me. And he was like, you know what, Dutch Jones is absolutely right. And then you bang... Shot Sean Connery, I was just like, I did not see that. And then he kind of shouted at the woman and stuff. I thought, okay, now he's a grade A arse.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then I was willing him to get his comeuppance, which he did. But up until that point, I wasn't really that bothered about him. I wasn't kind of thinking when I was sitting there going, this is rubbish. But he just didn't really affect me.
Yeah.
And the German sort of Nazi dude was kind of filling the role quite nicely, the villain, so I was kind of happy about him, so.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I like? No, that was it for me, really.
Yeah, no big deal breakers.
No.
The Willie Scotts.
No, definitely not. I liked Elsa in it. I thought she was good.
She was.
I've got a theory about the three leading ladies. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
I got the impression, and I don't know if this was a purposeful thing, that they kind of picked the sort of stereotypes of those kind of old serials. Because all three of them really fit into certain stereotypical kind of pulp heroines. Because you had your sort of feisty, sort of adventurous, who was Marion. You had your sort of
damsel in distress,
which was Willy. And then you had your femme fatale,
yes,
who was Elsa. So they kind of all sort of fitted that. One of them fitted that role. I don't know if that was a purposeful thing. If that was, then that would make me give Willy Scott a little bit. No, it wouldn't, because I just thought she was. She still did my head in.
I think that's a good point. I think that must have been intentional.
Hmm.
Seems too coincidental not to be.
Hmm.
And I really liked Elsa too. Even at the end when she's about to meet her maker, and Indiana Jones is like, "I can't hold you, sweetheart." I wanted her to hold her. I didn't want her to die. I was like, "Well, she made some mistakes. It's okay.
Give her a shot."
Yeah, she's pretty. Keep her around.
Right, so we did the positive stuff and the not so positive stuff about Last Crusade. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was any. Seems any trivia-y type stuff on that. I don't think there was actually.
Here's a little bit of trivia for Temple of Doom. Not for this one, but for Temple of Doom.
Cool.
This is pretty widely known, but the club at the beginning of the movie was called Club Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I had heard that. Also, as well, they had the hieroglyphics of C-3PO and R2-D2 in the Will of Souls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There's a picture of it. If you go to, I think it's the Raider.net website, it's got a picture of it there.
Okay.
And, see, I'm being really anal now. I was going to say, the seaplane in Raiders, the actual registration number, I think, was OBCPO or something like that, and OB was for Obi-Wan, and obviously yeah. CPO, C3PO. I think stuff like that's cool, but I need people to point stuff like that out to me, because I don't spot things like that.
I don't either.
You know, All the times I've watched those movies, I've not picked up on things like that. Let's hit Young Indy then. Literally, let's hit Young Indy.
I haven't seen much of it, to be honest with you.
Haven't you?
No. Because it was, I don't know if it was just on at an odd time when I was a kid, but I never caught it. I've seen some of them, but, and what I saw, honestly, it didn't make me want to come back. No. Really.
Did you watch the pilot episode? I think it was a two-parter.
Is that the one where he's the little boy in Egypt?
Yes, and he meets Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, I just remember, like, no details, just scenes.
I'm trying to vaguely remember. I think he meets Lawrence of Arabia when he's a kid, then he meets him again when he's kind of, he's not an adult, but I think he's probably in his teens or whatever.
He met a lot of famous people in that show, didn't he?
Yeah,
he kind of Forrest Gumped his way around the world.
Yeah, it was basically, you know, Indiana Jones meets Forrest Gump, kind of travels around the world and stuff, and it was kind of, it just didn't work for me. Have you ever seen Young Sherlock Holmes?
Yes.
I loved Young Sherlock Holmes.
I do too, it's a great movie.
And that's kind of what I wanted. In some ways, that was a better Young Indiana Jones movie than Young Indiana Jones.
You know,
TV
people
series.
Call that movie Young Sherlock Holmes and the Temple of Doom.
Dude.
Because it's very similar.
It is. That's a cracking movie. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And and I can understand when people say it, because I see a lot of similarities between that and Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom. And that was what I wanted from a young Indiana Jones. And, you know, I wouldn't...
Didn't have it.
It was so busy giving me historical stuff, and you had him in the war, in the trenches, and a lot of it was quite bleak. I mean, it's great from a kind of historical point of view to kind of educate youngsters and stuff, but I didn't want to see that. I just wanted him travelling around the world going after artifacts and stuff like that, and kind of being, have a whip and things, and it just I didn't get it. It was almost trying to be really highbrow and clever and deep. And it's like, I love the Indiana Jones movies. I love them. They kind of form the backbone of a lot of what I'm into. But they're not deep philosophical movies.
Right.
They're not trying
to teach you anything.
No, they're adventure. It's an adventure movie.
Pure popcorn.
Pure popcorn B movies. I've always known that. And that's fine. And sometimes when you've got people kind of saying, you know, they're this and they're that and things like that. Don't get me wrong, they're well acted, they've got good acting in there, but they're B movies, and that's what they set out to do. And that's what I wanted to see from Young Indiana Jones. And what I didn't want to watch a history lesson every week, thanks.
Yeah.
That's not what I signed up for.
Have you seen these DVD sets that have come out for that show now?
Yeah.
It's like expansive historical documentaries for every episode. And I think the goal was that so these would be appropriate for the classroom, too. So
right.
Definitely their thrust is education.
God. I just think they really missed the boat on that. There was a couple of episodes, actually, which really gave me a glimpse of what it could have been like. And I would say to you, if you can get hold of them, there was one, I think it's called The Train of Doom. I think it was a two-parter. And it was kind of set in the war, and he was kind of partnered up with this kind of team of, they're almost like special ops sort of guys, but they were all old. And they were led by Paul Freeman, who played Belloc.
Oh.
And it was really, I know it sounds odd, but it really worked. It was really clever. And through his relationship with them, he gets that whole kind of make it up as you go along type thing, because that's all these guys did. They just made shit up as they went along.
Uh-huh.
And it was a really good two-part, and I just thought that was kind of what I wanted to see. But it just happened so few times.
Well, let me propose a question here. Did we need, really, a Young Indiana Jones Chronicles? Because I almost say that I got all of the backstory I needed in The Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Any more than that, and you're kind of taking away from what we have already.
I don't know about take away. Because I tend to view TV and movies very differently. So, for me, the movies are a kind of thing unto themselves. And if the TV show had worked for me, it wouldn't have made me view the films any differently because they stand alone for me. Mm-hmm. So I would just watch the TV show and enjoy the TV show for what it was. But I couldn't do that because, to be honest, it was just boring most of the time.
No, it was. It really was.
The
ones I remember were very boring.
So if they ever brought out the Train of Doom two-part on its own as a DVD, I would buy that. But that's it.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna try to get those from Bucky, those sets, one of these days Bucky, but he doesn't have them right now.
No, maybe one day.
Yeah. Or if they get really cheap.
And I watched, there was, and obviously it's the only, until now, it was the only other time you saw Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones because he was in an episode.
Yeah.
Not a good episode, but he was.
Wasn't he playing an instrument?
Yeah, it was just, it was good to see him. Do you know what I mean? But the episode was rubbish. I think it was Young Indiana Jones and the Mystery of the Blues. It was all about jazz and stuff, and it was just like,
so he was playing a saxophone, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he caused an avalanche to kind of, you know, be the bad guys. Jeez, man. What are you thinking? You know? It's taking you this long to do Indy 4, but you sign up for that rubbish.
Well, did you read any of the novels?
Yes, I did, actually. Did you read any?
Yes, I've read most of them.
Have you?
There's a few I haven't. And I find them hit or miss. But
Yeah.
There's some good ones, and then there are some that are not good at all. They don't get him. They don't get the character at all.
Yeah, and I agree. I think very much if you don't get his character straight off, then you're on the high, you're going downhill. Even if it's a good plot, I think you need to capture Indy right, and a lot of them didn't do that. Mm-hmm. There was one I remember really vividly, and I really enjoyed it, and it was Indiana Jones and the Sky Pirates. Did you ever read that one?
I did. Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. Mainly because it was him, and he kind of put together a little team as well. It wasn't necessarily Indy in the traditional sense of the word, because he was kind of taken on world conquering. Well, I suppose he was actually, because that they were like Nazis. And I remember Indiana Jones, and I think it was The Seven Veils. That was a weird one.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
What ones do you remember that you liked?
My favorite is The Genesis Deluge. It's about Noah's Ark. Somebody finds Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat, like in Turkey, I think it is.
I don't think I've read that one.
That's actually my favorite one, because it feels like, you know, it's got all the elements to it.
Right.
The Dance of the Giants, I believe I enjoyed that one pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. There was quite a lot. I remember one, I don't think I ever read it, I just saw the title and I thought it's too far for me. I think it was Indiana Jones and Dinosaur, the Dinosaur Eggs or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just saw it and I thought, nah, I don't think so.
I think I read that one and it was like, meh. I actually went on a kick a couple of years ago, and I got like 5 more of those. I was like, "Well, I'm going to finish my collection," and I've got all of them, but about 2 or 3. And I read 3 or 4 of them back to back, and they were not that good.
It's funny actually, because actually for me, my 2 favorite ones was the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie adaptation book and Last Crusade. Given the fact I'd seen the movies, I just thought they were really good stories, and they gave a lot of stuff in there that wasn't actually in the movie.
Yeah, you always get more in those books. I think it's because they give them the shooting script to write the book off of, and then stuff gets cut out of the movie for running time, but they don't cut it out of the book, so you get stuff, you're like, oh, extra scenes.
Yeah, because there was a lot more stuff about India Marion in that, kind of a whole thing about the fact she was a lot younger than him and stuff like that. It was quite a good subplot with Belog as well, and how he kind of got recruited by the Nazis and stuff. And I would say to people, actually, if you're an indie fan and you like Raiders of the Lost Ark and you've never read the books and you're a reader, you should definitely go and get it, because I think it fills in a lot of stuff from the movie. Same with Last Crusade. I mean, Temple of Doom was alright, but you know, I think the Raiders and the Last Crusade novelizations were just really good, especially the way Last Crusade explained what happens when you drink from the Holy Grail. It's done very well.
I have those, but I'll have to read them again. I haven't read them since I was a kid.
No, me neither.
I bought them when they were new. Well, I bought The Last Crusade when it was new. But I haven't read it since then. So I probably haven't touched them in 20 years.
Did your Last Crusade have pictures in the middle? Because mine did.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
That's so cool. I love when they do that with film books. And I just love, there's a picture of Harrison Ford and Sean Connery kind of like, and Sean Connery sitting down, and Harrison Ford's kind of doing his classic indie pose. He's kind of like he's like kneeling up on something behind his dad, sort of thing. It's such a great pose.
Mm-hmm. I think I've got that as a postcard that I got from the Disney World.
Right.
You know, they've got a lot of Indiana Jones merchandise at Disney MGM Hollywood Studios, or whatever it's called now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got the stunt show and they sell action figures outside of it and stuff.
I mean, I think they really did, when they did those movies, like you talked about, you know, they really know how to do an intro. They really know how to market indie back then. Because I always remember for Last Crusade, before it came out, they had a little teaser poster. And it was indie just with his hat. And it just said, like, you know, the man in the hat is back, and this time he's bringing his dad. And then they had I think Temple of Doom was, if adventure has a name, it must be Indiana Jones. And they just really knew how to sum up the movie experience in one line. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. But no, overall, young Indiana Jones, meh. The books, I'd agree with you. Hit and miss. Some good ones in there, some not so good ones in there.
Yeah. I can't say don't read them, because there are some that I actually really enjoyed.
Mm.
So, you know, go on Amazon and just look at
those
reviews for them, you know.
I think,
be selective.
I think briefly as well, actually, because we're both huge comic fans. Did you read any of the Indiana Jones comics?
I've not read any of the Marvel stuff, but I have read some of the Dark Horse comics.
Right, because I...
They just put out the omnibus, too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I'd like to get my hands on that.
Is that the omnibus which collects the Dark Horse stuff?
Yeah, it's Volume 1 of the Dark Horse Omnibus.
Right.
And they say they have the rights to the Marvel comics, and they'll be putting those out, too.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I would say, and it's been a lot of years since I've looked at them, I would definitely say pick up the Marvel comics when they come out. Because I've got the full run of that. I don't think I've got every single comic, actually, but I've got pretty much... I've definitely got over 30 comics, and I think they did about 36 or something. Mm. I loved the hell out of those when I was a kid. Because Indiana Jones was probably the perfect format for a comic. Because every comic ended with him on a massive cliffhanger. And I think one of the ones I remembered really vividly was there was one where he'd got buried up to his neck in sand, and they'd set off flesh-eating crabs, and they were like weaving towards him. It's like, and you just kind of like, and you've got to wait 30 days, and you're like, how in the hell is he going to get out? And I can't even remember how he got out now. But no, it was really good. I mean, there was issues in there where Marion came back into it. There were issues where, you know, the captain of the ship in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
He came into it for a two-parter. There was one where they talked about trying to find Abner Ravenwood. There was one where the sister of Tot, who was the kind of SS guy from Raiders, she came into it as a baddie. I mean, it was just... I just really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that run of comics. And for me, I actually enjoyed them more than the... I need to reread them again, but I enjoyed them more than the Dark Horse stuff. Because I felt Marvel kind of captured it more than the Dark Horse stuff did. But, you know, we'll see. When they reprint them, I might be looking at it through rose-coloured spectacles, so we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, you never know. They probably did pretty good. Have you played the Xbox game?
Oh, it says leaning across to stroke it.
It's a good game.
Yeah, Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb. Cracking game.
Yeah, to me, there were a few parts in there that was kind of slow at times.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like Tomb Raider for people that haven't played it. It's got a lot of Tomb Raider elements to it, a lot of, you know... tomb crawling and just exploring and looking for things, but then again you got the action element, and I love that when, like, you just be walking along looking for some artifact or something, and then somebody would jump out and shoot at you, and then the music kicks in.
Yeah,
and it's like you're living the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they did fighting really well in that game as well, Zara, because you could pick up different things, couldn't you? Like, if someone broke a chair in you, you could pick up, like, a chair leg, and, you know. And
that's right.
You kind of get into a fight with three guys, and like you say, you're sort of getting beaten up, and then the music kicking you, like, I can't go out like this, I'm indie.
That's right. And then the very end of the game was insane. It took me so long. It took probably hours to beat that final stage. You're being chased by... I guess virtually it's like a tank, really.
Oh, and you've got to swing over the different...
And you're swinging over pits, and you're swinging over... Like, the ground breaks away from you, and... and you have to basically memorize. Okay,
yeah.
This is going to break away, but you've got to stay ahead of the tank the whole time. Sounds not fun, but it was fun.
It was fun. It was a fun game.
And in certain scenes, like, you would... If you got in the water or something, his hat would fall off. If you fall along, since his hat falls off, and you'll get up and you walk over, and he'll pick it up and put it back on his head.
Yeah,
it was just cool.
It's the little things, or if you really got a kick in, his hat would come off.
Right, right.
You know, and it really was the little things. And did you ever play Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis?
No, that's for computer, right?
Yeah.
PC? No,
that was a good one. As was they did the Last Crusade one, which is one of these sort of point and click. Adventure type things. That was a goodie. That was a good one as well.
Okay.
But I'm really looking forward to Lego Indiana Jones.
Yes. Oh yes.
I'm a bit torn as to whether to get it for the Xbox 360 or to get it for the Wii.
Yeah, I'm old school. I'm gonna have to get it for PS2.
But see, on the Wii, you use the Wii remote as a whip, and I mean, you know, that's a good.
Have you played Wii Sports?
Yes.
Okay, I find that, like, the Wii boxing, I have accuracy issues
with it. Yeah, I know.
I'm like, that's not what I'm doing. Or I'm like, you know, beating the crap out of the person in front of me, basically. I'm like, punching as hard as I can, and he's not even moving on the screen. Well, so I would be afraid that I would get that game, and he would not whip when I want him to whip.
Yeah, that's true. There would be whipping issues. That sounds wrong, doesn't it?
Whipping issues.
I'd like to take this. I'd like my money back on this game, please. Why? Whipping issues. So I don't know. Whatever I get it on, it's going to be cool. It just, I mean, I've played all the Lego Star Wars ones, and they're really fun.
Yeah.
But what's good about them is that they're really fun, but they really do capture every little bit of the movie. And some of the stuff I've seen of the your Lego Indiana Jones is no exception.
Mm-hmm.
And it does all three movies. They're doing all three movies as well, so that's cool.
Yeah.
So, to kind of
jump into it,
round it up, let's jump into it, the biggie, even though we haven't really got a great deal to say about it.
We should do a follow-up after we've seen it.
Definitely.
So we're excited.
We're excited, but we weren't to begin with, were we?
No. And I'm still, there's still just a little thing in the back of me that says, Shia LaBeouf, what are you doing?
You see, to me, he's a sidekick.
The whole 50s greaser thing. I just can't associate Indiana Jones and the 50s together. I just can't do it.
I know.
I'm sure it'll work out fine. I'm sure it will. But then it's like you've got Indiana Jones and then this guy that looks like the Fonz. It's just a little hard to get used to.
See, I'm waiting for when they can't get into a tomb, and then Indy's like, I can't find a way in, and then and he does some little punch onto like the side of a granite stone, and then it slides open, and it's like a kind of granite jukebox or something. I don't know.
And he goes, "Ey."
But no, when they first announced it, given the fact that, like you, big Indy fan, my first thing was like, no. No, please tell me no. Why are they going to do this? And I think for me, it was probably off the back of the new Star Wars movies. And this isn't about Star Wars, so we're not going to go off on a tangent. But I think because of my feelings for those new movies, I thought this is not a good idea. It's been too long. There was a great set of movies. Just, you know, you had a fantastic ending. Just leave it alone. Why are you going back to it? Surely he's going to be too old now to be running around on horses, beating up people, you know, because that is a real physical role, being Indiana Jones. That's one of the kind of upsides to it. It's a real physical role. So I wasn't sure, but like you, I was probably even easier to convince. When I saw they released a photo of him kind of sitting on a chair, dressed up as Indy for the first time, and when I saw that, I was done. Yeah.
That was my wallpaper for months.
Yeah.
it's the stubble is now kind of white.
Yeah.
Points. But he looks like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And that was all I needed, really. And I do still have some doubts about certain elements of it. But mostly just, well, we've heard rumors that maybe Shia LaBeouf is his son in the movie. And I guess that's okay. I just don't want it to be... I don't know. I just don't want it to sacrifice any of the adventure or any of the... I don't know. Because, see, then they did the family thing in The Last Crusade, and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out fine for me. So I have, you know what, I have total faith. It's just going to take some getting used to see the 50s. And also, I'm a little hesitant that it seems like maybe this plot has to do with extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
That does not seem like an Indiana Jones plot to me. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, all I'll say on that is they did a... See, I was going to say a similar plot, but I don't know, because I don't know where this one's going. But they did do a kind of extraterrestrial-type plot in the Marvel Comics run. And it might have even been the first kind of story run they did, actually. I mean, it was against Nazis, but I think it was a kind of extra type thing. And it worked. I mean, there weren't spaceships or anything like that. It was just kind of... I think it was centered around Stonehenge. And they were waiting for these beings to kind of come back. And you didn't really know where they were coming from, but you got the vibe they were extraterrestrial. And the Nazis wanted to kind of be the first to contact them. That's what it was, yeah. So they could use them for their own ends, sort of thing, because they were coming to deliver this message of hope that or works. Whatever. And the Nazis wanted to be there first. And it worked, because it wasn't... It still had that kind of archaeological side to it, because it was around Stonehenge and all that sort of stuff. But it didn't go sci-fi, which I think maybe that's what people are worried. I think people, when you hear kind of, it could be a bit sci-fi, it could be a bit alien-y, that you sort of think, oh my God, Indy's going to be like running, dodging lasers, jumping into an X-Wing or something. This isn't what I signed up for. but I've got, the problem is, I think, if it was just Lucas, I'd be more worried, but you've got Harrison Ford and you've got Steven Spielberg, and those two are very, very big presences. And in my mind, if old Georgie boy is really going to jump the shark, I think they would step in and go, no, don't mean to be funny, mate, but that's just not going to work. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I think if
and
it was...
Plus,
sorry, go on.
We know how many scripts it took them to go through. They've been going through scripts for, what, about 10 years?
Yeah.
Trying to get something approved. And if they've been that particular, then I have faith that this is, you know, the right step.
The only worrying thing about that was there was a script that came out that both Lucas and Ford, not Lucas and Ford, Spielberg and Ford loved. Really, really liked the idea of it, and Lucas was dead set against it.
And Spielberg and Ford liked it, and Lucas did not like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this kind of whole alien-y type thing, the Crystal Skull thing, when it first got mentioned, Spielberg and Ford were kind of like, yeah, I don't know about this. And then obviously as scripts have gone on, they've finally got a script where they've kind of gone, okay, this works within that script. So, I'm not saying it as a downer, I'm just saying, yeah. But for me, it's indie, you know. And one of the things about The Last Crusade, that it's not a criticism, because it didn't bother me, but it actually, when you actually really sit and watch The Last Crusade, it's very similar to Raiders of the Lost Ark. From a story point of view,
yeah,
and plot point is very similar to Raiders of the Lost Ark. And in some ways, you could almost lift out Sean Connery, rewrite the scenes and put Marion back in. It's very similar. But that's fine. I didn't care because it was great. It was a great plot and it was done really well. And my worry from people who have watched those movies who maybe now have got older and maybe going to be a bit more, for want of a better word, judgmental... they could go in and we could get a movie which basically is going to be very similar to the other movies, and they could come out going, oh, it's nothing original in that, it's just the same as Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I'm kind of saying, well, actually, there wasn't too many original things in The Last Crusade, but everyone loved that.
Yeah.
So we just need to kind of go in with an open mind and just enjoy it for what it was. It's going to be a B-movie.
Yes.
You know, and we need to go in with that. It's not going to be some kind of amazingly deep drama, because that's not what we watch Indiana Jones for. We watch it to kind of close our eyes, be whisked back to whatever time, and forget about our troubles for 2 hours or whatever.
And this references the letter that, or the statement that George Lucas made that we started off talking about, where he said, people are going to build this up. It's just a movie.
Yeah.
And he said this before, but I think it is important to keep that in mind. We've had 20-plus years to basically deify these movies and to worship them and to watch them over and over and over. And this is just the latest installment. So I do think we should be kind of careful that we don't hang all our hopes on it, because it's just a movie. And I think he's just trying to bring expectations down to a reasonable level. I'm sure they busted their butts on it and they made it as good as they can. But I don't know that... You say when you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was instant classic, that you knew from that moment that, you know, it had everything you wanted in it. I honestly, like, I can barely remember my early experiences with the movie. I just know that for so long I've lived and breathed the movies that they've become part of me now.
Yeah.
And see, adding something new to that, it is going to be kind of hard to take it and not hold it up to what... You know, I've lived and breathed for 20 years.
I think for me though is when I saw, and I kind of know what George Lucas is saying, but as much as I love Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I think it's a perfect action B movie summer blockbuster, Mm-hmm. It's still an action summer blockbuster. It gave me a lot, me personally. But if someone was to say to, you know, come up and sort of say to me, well, you know, Gandhi's a far more deeper moving film, whatever, I'd probably go, yeah, you're probably right. But that's not what I'm watching that for.
Right.
You know, and when I go to see this new movie, so long as Indiana Jones is Indiana Jones, so long as I'm getting death traps, so long as I'm getting, you know, bad guys who are proper bad guys, not conflicted bad guys. It doesn't need to be, you know, bad guys have always been bad guys in Indiana Jones movies. You know where you stand. You know who the good guys are, you know who the bad guys are. So long as I'm getting that, I'm getting my B-movie feel, I'm getting the cliffhanger stuff, I'm getting the music. It doesn't need to hit a lot. For me, I'm not that easy, I'm not that difficult to please in terms of doing actually doing an Indiana Jones movie. You've already hit the right note, because most of my concerns was around Harrison Ford being too old to do the role. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even thinking about the plot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because to me, the plot isn't irrelevant, but the plot's going to take care of itself.
Secondary.
Yeah, Harrison Ford is going to make me believe that movie, whatever happens. That's how I'm looking at it. And if he's looking the part, I'm going to be happy.
Mm-hmm. And from the trailer, we've got all of those things.
Yeah.
He looks the part. You've got the death traps. You've got the natives, you know, chasing him down. You've got the really bad, bad guy being a bad guy.
Exactly.
It's all there.
Is it going to be as inspiring and, you know, as moving and all the rest of it and make me be something right or something else as Raiders of the Lost Ark was? In short, no, because I'm not the same person that I was then. You know, I was a kid. I was, you know, looking for something to kind of inspire me. Didn't quite know what I wanted to do, and you know, and I saw that movie, and it kind of struck a chord with me. I'll see this movie, and even if the movie is fantastic, I will come back and I will say, my God, that movie was fantastic, and it will probably inspire me to get off my arse and write more. But it's never going to have the same impact on me as Raiders of the Lost Ark did, because it's different movies. And I think that's where the problem can come in. If you go in there expecting it to have the same sort of impact on you and it doesn't, that's when you suddenly go, oh, it's not as good as Raiders was. It's just different. It's a different time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. I hope that everyone goes in with that attitude.
Mm.
Any predictions? Box office predictions or anything?
It's going to make a killing, isn't it?
I hope so.
It's got to. It's, I mean, even... I mean, like you said, they've played a good game. They haven't really shown a lot of stuff about it. They've built up the expectations for it. But, you know, people are going to go and see it because it's Indiana Jones. Everyone knows Indiana Jones. And you don't want to miss out on the off chance that, you know, you don't want to miss out going on the off chance that you think it's going to be rubbish. You wouldn't want to miss out on it, I don't think. I think it's going to make a lot of money. And one of the things before we kind of, I think, close up, because, you know, that kind of annoys me, and I've had a little bit of a rant about it before, is the fact that you've got people sort of going, oh yeah, Indiana Jones, yeah, it's going to be good, but it ain't going to be as good as Dark Knight, or it's not going to be as good as Iron Man, or it's not going to be as good as the Hulk. And I'm kind of like, I don't care. I'm not going to see, when I go and see The Dark Knight, I'm going to see The Dark Knight. When I'm going to see Iron Man, see Indiana Jones is Indiana Jones. I'm not comparing it to other things. It's not about that.
Right.
You know, and that kind of stuff annoys me. Just go and just enjoy it for what it is, you know?
That's the fanboy mentality.
Yeah, yeah. And I know I sometimes fall into that trap sometimes myself, but on this one, I refuse to do it. I just want to go in. I just want to sit down, get me popcorn, enjoy it, try not to cheer too much to kind of piss people off, you know? Maybe I might go, like, when there's, you know, go to a quiet screening when there's no one around.
I think what you should do is when the opening credits come on and you see, like, the Paramount logo, you should jump up and say, Kalima! Kalima! Shaktori Kalima! And then you could have someone with you go, hum dum shum hum dum shum.
Yeah, I can't see Dave doing that. And then as I'm being quietly escorted out. Where is it, D? I mean,
it belongs in a museum.
I mean, I've entered a competition to win tickets to the premiere.
Ooh.
Now that for me would be a dream come true, to go to the premiere, you know, and it's the red carpet premiere in London or whatever. I'd be happy.
Well, I had a bit of a bummer the other day. Do you guys have Dr. Pepper over there?
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Pepper's doing a big promotion for the movie. It's like the official drink sponsor of the movie. And so all the 2-liter bottles here have, like, 1 in 6 wins Indiana Jones prizes. So I pop off the bottle cap, and I go to the website and enter in the code. And I was one of the 1 in 6 to win. But here's what I want. I want a desktop wallpaper of a picture of Indiana Jones and Shia LaBeouf. And it looks really ratty. And I was so depressed because they had T-shirts, and they have tickets, and they have, like, vacation packages and prize packages, and I want a wallpaper, a desktop wallpaper.
Oh,
I was crushed.
Gutted.
But we're going to be drinking a lot of Dr. Pepper around here.
On that cheery note, do you want to round up, mate?
Sure. Yeah, I need to get going.
We've nearly done 2 hours. That was quality.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Have you got any parting words?
No, I can't think of anything. Just that I'm a happy man. We get Indiana Jones again after almost 20 years, and I can't wait. The toys, I'm sure there's going to be Happy Meals. There's going to be, you know, T-shirts. It's going to be everywhere, and I'm so happy.
Yeah, I think
I'm going to enjoy it while it's here.
Yeah, I think you kind of you said it for me as well. I've already got a couple of some of the merchandise and stuff, and I'm looking forward to getting it. Yeah, is that Indy the dog in the background?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. Name the dog Indiana. and yeah, I'm really looking forward to like the movie and stuff like that, and just I can't believe it. I can't believe that, you know, this time. In a month's time, I'm going to be sitting there going, I've just seen a new Indiana Jones movie. The golden iPod, Dad. I can almost get it. I can almost reach it.
Nebraska. Nebraska. Let it go.
And now I can sort of turn around to you and I can say, what did you find, Heath?
Illumination.
So quality, I love the show quality. Well, I've been Barry Nugent.
And I'm Heath Holland.
And this was, we haven't even got a title for this.
Yeah, it's just our indie special.
Yeah, so that was our indie special. We hope you enjoyed it. And we hope you enjoyed the movie. I hope we enjoy the movie, and we'll probably do a little special, I think, again after we've both seen the movie.
Yeah, let's do a follow up.
Yeah, we'll do a follow up and stuff, which will probably be short because we'll be talking. It won't be short, will it? Because we'll be really analysing that movie, I reckon.
Yeah, it'll be 4 hours.
It'll be 4 hours. It's going to be double the length. It's going to be epic, people. So, take care, all.
Goodbye.
Bye. Wish I could do Sean. Thank you. almost get it. I can almost reach it.
Nebraska. Nebraska. Let it go.